even the English names of the bones, but you also taught them the names of the bones in the Inupiat language, or whatever language you happen to be dealing with. And the same thing, I think, goes out much more broadly. I don't teach, okay, but I did see a few heads nodding that there's some truth in that. That maybe by making things more relevant to the actual lives of people, sure, for the kids down in Davenport, Iowa, Dubuque is really relevant. But I don't know what it means to the kids in Minnesota. Yes. Okay, there you go. All right, I mean, that's a really neat idea, because there again, you've made the thing more interesting and more relevant, right? Instead of just on the paper on the wall.
And just to add what I said before, if you go into a language experience approach, or get all the stuff about the language, you can basically get across English skills and basic language skills. And then when everybody comes up and challenges the test score, I'm able to do is they don't look at my high and low, look at 1981, 1982, it's going up, yeah, it's going down, you know, like I'm doing.
There was somebody over here.
I just
want to
make one comment. When you're looking at two different cultures, which we all are interactive, it's real important to not judge one or the other feeling good or bad or better than the other. I think that's the real key. In a classroom, if you take a kind of comparative approach, which I think can be really useful, okay, if you're studying the Greek or wherever, okay, and what's life their life and what is life here, you know, and what are the similarities, what are the differences, they always stress in that.
I mean, I think this is all I'm asking for is equal time. You know, equal time for the two realms of knowledge. And the sad part of it is that the one realm of knowledge that is equally valid and equally important and equally large is disappearing in many areas. And that makes it all the more important. Are we missing any games back here?
I think that the title of the
I so strongly believe in what you're saying. I think you really made a good point that by validating, I mean, it's incredible really that this hasn't been true since the very beginning, but by validating the traditional knowledge of people, isn't that the most important thing you can do for people's self-esteem, and say, hey, what you know as a part of your own traditions is as important as what I know from my tradition? I mean, that seems like a basic human right to me. That we respect one another's knowledge and expertise and experience as being equal to our own. And I don't really think that's been the premise of the schools traditionally, the Western schools traditionally. It's just so neat that that's kind of the direction things are moving. And you're saying that you're supporting this idea of having it in the classroom all the time, not just like, okay, today we're, as a little curiosity, we're going to talk about native traditions. I don't think it should be a curiosity. I think it should be a basic part of everyday life in the school, no matter what your subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'd like to argue that incorporating local knowledge may be pretty unusual factor. But if you start with the local knowledge, then the kinds of topics that the time on the topic can be done.
Oh, listen, I'm so willing to buy that, that you give priority, in a sense. I don't believe that you should, I don't believe that in this modern world we should teach one at the expense of the other, you know, because we, it seems like both are very important, but I do agree with you very strongly that maybe give, because this is where the people are, maybe giving this kind of priority to the traditional knowledge. I don't know.
Using in a number of things.
Oh yeah. That's a real new thought. That's a real, really new thought. Yes.
No, for all of us that are teaching them, one of the things that we're constantly trying to do is to motivate the students. And I think, you know, just from talking about this a little bit, it's obvious the motivational value that this has in terms of, you know, kids are particularly proud of knowing things that are involved with their native culture, and that can help us rub off and represent at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But like many other things, you never get anything for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
People go through core curriculums and follow books and things like that because it's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And again, all of these things that we're talking about require, you know, additional time and effort.
Yeah.
And again, that's the obvious, you know, problem that we're not going to
that's
solve
right.
here if there's no one to adopt into my hands an entire series of things that are applicable to my village and only my village.
Uh-huh.
And the teachers, you know, turn over every year, every other year. You know, the continuity is lost. By the time they've got their act together, you know, to start developing a realistic program, you know, along these lines, they're gone, you know, by the time you kind of get your head above water and you start breathing, you may not end up being there. You know, so there's some real very difficult problems in implementing these ideas that I think everyone is aware of or most people are aware of and agree with, you know, but again, it's very difficult to do.
This is a really good point, right? And it must be the heavy burden on the backs of teachers. How do you do it? How have you people done it? Are there any good streamlined procedures? Do you have recommendations about how to start doing this? What have you done? Yes, Mike.
Well, I like the 5% approach myself. You take any type of subject matter that you want to teach, and you find that locally relevant matter, be it transportation or natural science, whatever. You get a whole project around what is known locally, what the available resources are, where you can go in. You use that as a point of departure. You use that as a core curriculum for developing skill areas. Literature, the creative writing aspects about even a look at transportation. Start with what is the existing transportation. You gotta remember that culture did not stop at context creates the ongoing thing. And if you go a different direction and look back at how the transportation system developed and the method of transportation, and you can look at how that compared to others, you can tie in the mathematics, the economics. I'm working on a unit on dogma. You can get into the economics of examining the relative cost of operating dogma today, the operation and maintenance of cost of the energy, depending on the local availability of food for that dog team. That is departure. Get into a whole study of relations. You don't examine objects as they stand by themselves, but how would objects relate to one another? And you can't stop. You can get into the whole thing. When Bob McGuire was down at Alice Castle, we grew up in 1910, the kids writing back and forth a about life in that community. That's good. Conflict with marriages and family back and forth, that communication going there between the children. There's actually no answer how you can do this. You can take any issue or any subject matter that you want to deal with, make a project that begins with local knowledge, and use that as a form rather than using and use that as a vehicle for teaching skills, not skills in another subject matter.
Can I ask a question? Like, for instance, in doing the dog mushing, how much time a day is spent on, in your class, related things related to dog mushing? Is that a class? Is that several hours? Or do you do that as a mini course for a couple of weeks at a time, where you're just basically working on that one project? How do you set that up?
Well, actually, all of the above. You know, you can take, if you have, the biggest problem, what we're trying to do now, is we're trying to implement things and create them at the same time. And so we have that, we all work at creating a body of information that is different from other different. Not fortunate. We're not going to get anywhere. Because you all know how many hours there are in a day. And every time you go in, you've got to create material over and over and over again. That's why I'm no longer in the classroom, but I'm going to start producing material, making commitments to start producing the project that we're going to stand
before. Okay, but now what you're telling me is that you were unable to do it in the classroom, and no, you were able to do it in the classroom, but now you felt the need for doing it outside of the classroom, taking time and spending it on a concentrated development outside of the classroom. And I think, at least for myself, and I'm sure other people in here, the question is, can this be done just in the classroom? Can I do it, you know, with my PT job and everything at the same time? You know, is there a way to develop these things? Or I think that, I mean, I can tell you right now, I don't have the time to do
well,
it after
just,
class.
Well, what are you, let me just interrupt.
Time now.
No, I'm sorry, what I'm doing.
You're making choices. You are making choices. I'll choose to do this, and I'm not to do that.
Right, I guess what I'm looking for is how can I, how can I involve the kids in helping to develop these things at the same time? So, you know, because I can see that, you know, I probably don't have time to write a curriculum, you know, after school. So I guess what I personally am looking for is ways to involve the children in helping to, you know, develop this body of knowledge and learn as they're figuring it out with me.
Okay, can we broaden out a minute? There's a hand back here and there are a number of others.
Well, I think we have to go back a lot too, when we talk
Well, you know, there's another thing too. It's true. It's, you know, you can't develop a whole curriculum thing overnight for sure. But you know, something is better than nothing. Okay, and you know, one thing that I've seen in some areas, and I'm not faulting people for this. I don't believe they've ever really been pushed to do this. Is people who are, especially newer teachers in the community, who are, when they're not busy, are spending their time separate from the community. Or with other teachers from their own background. I realize that that's more comfortable. I realize that people are in a foreign culture and it's difficult and they're uncomfortable. I'm sure everybody here understands that. But how meaningful it would be and how important for them to be spending their leisure time in the houses, getting to know the elders and the older people and the adults, and getting an idea of what is there, you know, and rather than just talking children. Okay, you had a hand up there.
I think it's important to quote and I enjoy it.
It's very important. People are spending long periods of time in villages and you tell them, hey, you know, so-and-so over there knows everything there is to know about this subject, and say, really? Oh, I have to meet that guy sometime. You know, and I'm not faulting them, but the truth is that they don't realize what expertise is available. Yes, you can wait. Real good point, because you're bringing it down, you're bringing it up to the level of what's relevant, what's right there as a part of a whole way of life. Definitely.
People in the villages are generally pretty used to helping each other out. And if you got a problem and you're teaching a class and you want help, I think all you really have to do is ask for it in a sincere way. And the people will usually come and help you, and the kids will help you too if you, I think they'll help you and tell you who to go to learn with, who to talk to, and try to bring that person into the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I've had, or had other teachers had, is when you get somebody in the classroom who's going to help you, or at a meeting after school or something, then how do you keep that person coming in? You got a problem with the district too, because as soon as you start to ask for help, and they think he doesn't know what he's doing, that's how you hire him for. And so you have to watch that. But the people will generally respect somebody who gives out a sincere cry for help. Hey, who knows anything about making Catholic crap or luck crap or whatever? If kids want to learn this, I want to help them. We don't have any money, or maybe we do have money for you. I don't know. But these are things that can be worked out with the people and with the students.
I think Catherine Atlas' comments on this are absolutely profound. She says, I like to give it out the way I got it. She said, people gave me my knowledge, and I would like to give it to the next generation. That's the way I got it. Oftentimes, and okay, this is a complete outsider talking, but oftentimes I think that we're creating a situation in which we're not making use of the traditional way of teaching people, of teaching each other. In the old days, I don't believe that when uncle taught nephew or aunt taught niece how to do something, I don't believe his or her palm was out. I think that they were saying, okay, this is part of my parental responsibility. And I think, don't the majority of people in villages feel this way? That they don't? Are you sure?
Some do and some don't.
Yeah, definitely very different.
Okay, somebody.
I need to say something from that. In what I can think of working, we don't blame them for not wanting to hear the information. I've seen it done to students, and I've seen it done to elders. A lot of their class projects, finding out information. A couple years later, there's the information being sold.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a good point. It is a good point, and it's also a good point that if the regular teacher in school is being paid for what he or she is doing, then the other teacher who is coming in from the village also their knowledge is worth something. But I'm saying, is it if losing a body of knowledge is at stake? It just amazes me that people would be willing to let it be lost over an issue like that. But then I'm sort of an idealist, and I hope that these kind of things can get worked out, but I'm sort of a fool. Yes?
I have some difficulty, I guess, in accepting something that I'm not able to do, but I think exactly what I was saying is that to all the wishes that I'm not able to do, and part of it has been to deal with the budgeting system. It calls for a whole disruption of schools, but because we're dealing with practical kinds of knowledge that can hand down that I can identify with, not even through my eyes, but identify with as operating the knowledge, I can probably incorporate that somehow with help. Mm-hmm. When it comes to belief systems, I really fear that I don't have the prudence when I pass that belief system on myself, funnel through someone else. You know, it would have to be done by the one who has to incorporate
the belief system,
which means they have to have a role within the classroom that other people feel.
Yeah, right. I agree. I can see. I have to go back to my self-introduction that I don't know anything about schools and the way they function, and you're educating me on this. Yes?
These systems are resource people, obviously, so that it doesn't get away from the high school and the school. We've set up with our local school board, they determine what they want the students to learn, the culture of the certain cultural values. I run one class in that many grades. I hire elders from the school, four of them down there now, and that's what it's done. Anything that's produced the school, more than information, use my school without their saying so, or doing those things, that doesn't go anywhere. Maybe a student produced will fit into a glass case,
Okay, it's obvious, it's coming out from all of you that there are a lot of practical problems, starting with the teacher's time, getting into the logistics of finding people, of paying people. It's clear that there are a lot of practical hurdles that have to be overcome. It's real interesting for me to hear this. And I don't for a minute question that you're all absolutely right in what you're saying. But it also doesn't shake my idealism that there's got to be a way of getting this stuff into the classes. And it's so terribly and terrifically urgent that I don't care what you have to overcome. I sure hope that you're willing to work at doing it. Yes? Thank you for that comment. Yes. Somebody. Yes.
Yeah, there are the people that I live at have been made to believe that persons who come into the village are authority figures and they know it all. They go to school, they tell their kids, go to school, get an education, and you'll become something. And let's look at the unemployment rate now and how many graduates you have in the village. And it's a big figure. You have got to bring in resource persons, make them believe that they are important. They are needed in order to survive in the village or the community. And also another point to that is the communication. Now, I can go and talk to an elder that none of you will ever be able to get across because I know the person. We have the same vibe and we understand each other. it would be very advisable to utilize persons who are willing to help you out, to, you know, those persons, if you have bilingual aids or instructors or even full-blown. If you go out and say, hey, I need your help, could you help me through this? People have been made to believe, you know, the VA system in Alaska has been here for a while. People have been made to believe that, you know, they know everything, they are authority figures, and they take them as authority figures. And people still believe that.
I have this feeling that you two people are really getting down to the nitty-gritty here, at least as I perceive things. If these two comments are awfully important, the last two, because you're talking now about the kind of relationship that exists between the school and the community, the ability of teachers to skillfully reach out into the community. You saying that there's a division between community and school, and you're suggesting that can be broken down, and you suggesting a way of going about doing it. If a person who's involved in working with the school, if you're not that familiar with the community, if you haven't been getting out and getting your visiting in and getting really acquainted with people, if you have probably people in the school who can be useful in that way in helping to bring in folks, because if these schools are really going to be community schools and we're going to achieve what we're talking about, then that division can't really, it can't exist, can it? I mean, doesn't that division have to be done away with? I, from my perspective, would also really emphasize, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the importance of teachers demonstrating their willingness to get involved with the community. And I don't mean open a trading post. I'm talking about, in fact, just exactly the opposite. To go out and it, please correct me if I'm wrong about this, but it seems to me that the idea of a teacher taking himself or herself out of that authority figure role and becoming instead a learner, okay, isn't that one of the most important things a teacher could do in a community, is to drop the teacher role and turn into a learner in certain contexts? And to go into the homes, as somebody was saying yesterday in Martha Tulip's workshop, I think, was, if she was saying, I believe, if you come into our home and show that you're interested in learning our way or our language or whatever, it means a great amount to us, is what she was saying. And that, again, I think fits with what you people are saying. I'm talking more to some of the newer teachers, because I know a lot of you old crusty people have been doing that for years. Here's one right here.
You took a word of advice on that. Learn to bite your tongue. And I mean that sincerely. Boy, I've bit my tongue for a long time, waiting for the person to answer the question that I asked him without giving him the answer. And we asked the question, what did you discuss at the council meeting the other night? Oh, silence. And the person is thinking about, what did they discuss at the council meeting? And the average new white teacher or old white teacher or whatever can't stand silence. And they gotta say, talk about the proposed road that's gonna come through here. And yeah, that's what we talked about. And what was decided? Silence. And the guy is thinking about what was decided. If indeed they did talk about it. And so learn to bite your tongue and shut up. And let the person think and give you the answer that he really does think. And if you can learn to do that, you'll start to get somewhere.
Hey, can I bring up just a couple more things for newer teachers, especially? And I said this morning, I want to say it again this afternoon, is that, and you may not agree with me, this is just my point of view, but I think that every community in the state where there's a school, that school should try to gather together everything that has been written about the community and the region, even stuff that you don't particularly like. Let other people decide if they want to like it or not. But I think, even if it's just junk and garbage, people can at least look at it and say, well, that's junk and garbage. And in fact, it might stimulate them to say, I could do something better than that. And you say, well, go ahead then. But it strikes me that schools, I'm really surprised, a lot of schools in the state have none of these materials that have been written for their area. Now, there are a couple of reasons for having those. One is so that the students can look and see what was written. And second is so that the teacher can look and see what has been written and maybe learn something through that. So that's one real strong pitch I want to make. Even if